Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. We welcome all of our affiliates here on the Radio Northwest Network. Have you ever heard the term griddling? That's with a G, griddling. Well, let me put it to you this way. Sometimes you wish you had a flat surface to cook on when you're cooking outdoors. I know the million or so times I've done it, there's been a few that I've wished I had a flat surface. Well, today on The Nation, we are going to welcome Chef Todd Tobin from Blackstone Grills, and he's their culinary manager there. And we're going to be talking about the difference between doing a flat surface grill and then a regular barbecue and some of the things that you can do with a Blackstone grill. And they're kind of cool. And also I want to remind everybody that Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, it's beef you can feel good about. Well, I feel good about it all the time, but I don't know about anybody else. So let's get it going here. Chef Todd, welcome to Barbecue Nation, my friend.
Great to be here, JT. I'm excited. Let's talk.
Okay. Well, let's get a little history on you. How did you end up, slinging hash for a living, so to speak?
Yeah, and that's just about a good way to sum it up there, JT. You know, I'm a professional short order cook, if you will. I've had a long experience with cooking. You know, I'm not a trained chef. I didn't go to a culinary school. You know, I just have a normal bachelor's degree. I worked in, you know, other careers. I worked in restaurants 30 years ago as a line cook in popular chain restaurants. You know, it got me exposed to flat top cooking and, you know, different types of cooking. Got out of that, worked in other avenues for a while. I have a YouTube channel that I started about a decade ago and did a lot of wild game cooking videos, outdoor adventure videos, fishing, hunting, and cooking. Mm-hmm. And about five years ago, I started to receive sponsorships from companies. A company named Blackstone out of Logan, Utah, sent me a flat top griddle. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I set it up in our garage, cooked burgers on it, sauteed onions, and I literally remember running into the house, excitedly telling my wife, oh my goodness, this thing cooks just like the flat top griddles we used at restaurants back in the day. This thing's the real deal. And so the rest is history, and now I get to, I'm blessed to get to travel the country and cook on Blackstone griddles, do demos at stores, at trade shows, film cooking videos, and write recipes for the Blackstone griddle.
Oh, there you go. That's a great job if you can get it. It's only it's two steps above hosting a radio show, but it's still a lot of work. So there you go. So give us the before we really dive into the minutia of everything here, the basics between the griddle and a grill. You know, I'm thinking an outdoor barbecue grill like a Weber or a Napoleon or something like that. The basic differences as far as how the food comes off when you're done.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question, JT. You know, there's so many great grill companies out there, and you've named, you know, Weber, Vision. You know, there's all these great companies out there, Traeger. We see them all. And so when I think about griddling versus grilling, you know, I think of flat top surface, like you referenced earlier, you know, a rectangular flat top surface. You know, if you're not familiar with that, maybe think about a traditional cast iron skillet. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're talking a Lodge cast iron skillet or one of the old, old ones back in the day. You know, it's a flat cast iron or a steel surface that doesn't have traditional grates like the Weber char charcoal grill,
right,
that would allow the flame to be in contact with the food. So, you know, that gives us a different option than those traditional grated grills. You know, we could do things like stir fries. We could do things like crepes, French toast, shrimp scampis, and it gives us a lot more options, a lot more versatility.
Well, I mean, when you can do pancakes on one side and scampi on the other side, that's pretty good. I'm pretty sure you still have to keep them kind of separated, but, you know, people's tastes have changed, and I've been known to cook shrimp for breakfast, so there you go.
Sure. Yes, for sure. Yeah, very versatile.
Is it difficult to keep it clean?
No.
I mean, do you get... We had somebody on last week, excuse me, Artie Davis was talking about, he's a barbecue judge, very big in that world, and I asked him, did he ever remember the worst piece of, you know, barbecue he put in his mouth while judging, I'm paraphrasing there, and he said, yeah, he did. He said because they'd cooked fish on the grill and didn't clean it, and then they went and did their brisket or whatever on their smoker. And he goes, you know, I got a mouthful of fish scales, basically. So is it hard to keep a Blackstone clean and deal with it?
No, it's not hard to keep a Blackstone griddle or any griddle, you know, clean for that matter. You know, it's just like cleaning a restaurant flat top, use a griddle scraper. So it's like, I'm going to continually probably go back to the cast iron reference, because it's a lot like cleaning them, seasoning them, the maintenance of them is a lot like the cleaning, the maintenance of the seasoning of cast iron. So our griddle tops are steel. They're made out of cold rolled steel. So let's take the popular 36-inch model. That's the flagship one that you'll see at most of the stores. It weighs, the top weighs 55 pounds. So it's a 55-pound plate of steel. You season it with oil, and then your oils from your food, you know, create levels of seasoning, just like with cast iron cookware. And then so it becomes nonstick, if you will, the more you cook on it.
Sure.
And then as far as cleaning it, you just scrape it off with a griddle scraper, you know, scrape off your food residue, and then just re-oil and wipe again. And there'll be a few caveats to that. You know, when we're talking things like stir fry, obviously, you know, it can get a little messy because we're throwing in teriyaki sauce or sugar-based sauces, which obviously are going to burn up and create a little mess there. And then you just simply squirt a little water on there. It immediately boils the sugar residue up the top, and then you can scrape it off. So pretty simple. It's just a process of scraping, occasionally adding some water, and then re-oiling and wiping, and you're ready for your next recipe.
People probably keep those cleaner than they keep their grated grills, I would imagine.
I think so, and I think I'm...
Oh, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, yeah. I know that when you walk out there in January or February, because you live in a climate a little different than ours, but not that dissimilar, but when you walk out there and you look at one of the grills that you haven't used for a while and you lift the lid, and there's little things doing the maraca dance underneath the lid, you know, they're growing on their own, that's when you know you probably should shape up and take care of your grill surface a little better.
I think so. Look, what I always tell people, as far as how the griddle should be stored, it should always have a slight glisten of oil to it. So, yeah, if I rip the cover off in January or in June, typically it's going to look like a shiny, oily piece of steel, as opposed to, you know, what I would, when I was lazy in the past with older grills, you know, lift the lid, like you said, and, oh, look at there. We got a big ash mess there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, and they, like I said, you got, looks like it needs a shave in some parts, you know. It's got little whiskers and things growing on it, so it takes a little bit to do that. We're talking with Chef Todd Tovin from Blackstone Griddles, Grills.
It's not like it used to be.
We're working with Todd and his company. We're actually going to be giving one of these away here in the next couple of weeks. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Todd right after this on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away.
And fell.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave's out running around, parking his car as usual. We're talking with Chef Todd Tobin from Blackstone Griddles today. A couple of things really quickly. We've got a new email because we changed systems here, if you can possibly believe that. It's Barbecue Nation. That's BBQ Nation at alphamediausa.com. That's Barbecue Nation, BBQ Nation at alphamediausa.com. Same for recipes. You can do recipes at alphamediausa.com. And, of course, we've got Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. A couple of affiliates, too, KFLS down in Klamath Falls and KPNW in Eugene. We would like to thank them all for being with us today. How hard is it for people to learn how to griddle, Todd?
I think it's easy if you're not one of these control freak type of cooks. And let me explain that. Griddling is so much different than baking. So JT, I'm a terrible baker. I'm a terrible baker because, you know, I like to experiment. You know, hey, what would happen if I put a little extra baking soda in here? Obviously, you know, with baking, there's not a lot of room for air there. It's a science. You have to know that stuff. But with griddling, I think it's a very forgiving cooking surface. And that's what attracted me to it. And that's what I always tell people, that it's very forgiving. You know, you don't have an exposed flame. And so, you know, if I have a steak or a burger patty on there and it's cooking away, and I walk away for 5 minutes to talk to somebody, I don't have to panic and run back. Oh, my goodness, the thing's dried out like a cork because, right, you know, the outside gets seared at a high temperature. You know, when you go to these high-end Chicago-style steakhouses, they sear their steaks up in a cast iron skillet, typically put them in a broiler to finish because they want to get that crust on the outside and that'll lock in the inside juices. So griddling is the same. You know, it's a very forgiving cooking surface and, you know, a lot of room for experimentation, you know.
Well, I little confession here. My grandmother, as if anybody wants to hear these stories from me, but my grandmother cooked on a wood stove. Never did get an electric stove in her lifetime. And it was basically griddling. She could bake in it, obviously, because they had an oven. But the stuff they cooked, all the meats and vegetables they cooked on the stovetop in cast iron skillets. So it's the same thing, really, in a lot of ways. And those people lived a very good long life and survived and probably took a hell of a lot better care of themselves than I've taken care of myself. But that's a different story for a different day. But we've kind of, you know, with all the innovations, if you will, in cooking technologies, coming back to something like this is actually kind of cool, I think.
I agree. You know, I think, you know, somebody asked me once how long griddling has been around, and you know, I'm thinking possibly as long as flat rocks have been around.
Pretty much,
you know,
yeah. Sure,
natives have been griddling for a long time. You know, I was out in Lyman, Colorado, eastern Colorado, with a couple of our kids a couple of years ago, and there's a railroad museum out there. There's an old Pullman railroad car from way back in the early 1900s, and there was a full-fledged griddle right there in the middle. You know, so these railroads that built our nation, you know, they used to have cooks on there that were griddling. So, yeah, I think it's been around for a very long time, and it's real exciting to be a part of that, to see people rediscovering something that was kind of there the whole time, but we never really knew it was there.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm kind of excited to do it because, as a chef on TV and stuff, or a cook, I can't call myself a chef. I wouldn't even if I was. But the point is that, you know, sometimes we work in flat surfaces. Sometimes we work in woks. Sometimes we use broilers. But when we can get outside and cook like this, I think you've really taken the social aspect of cooking to a new height because people can enjoy it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do that.
Somebody told me once, you know, it doesn't matter what the avenue is you use to create something, so long as the creation is great. So the same thing, yeah, you know, whether you're smoking it or cooking on charcoal or on the griddle, yeah, as long as people are having a good time, they're enjoying their food, and at the end of the day, they're like, wow, you know, that shrimp scampi dish you just made tasted like something I got at Red Lobster, but I made it on the back porch.
Yeah.
You know, that I think we've achieved our goal.
Todd, what's your favorite thing to cook on a Blackstone griddle?
That's a good question, Jeff. You know, I talked about stir fry earlier. I'm probably going to have to go with stir fry. We cook everything on the Blackstone, but stir fry is just such a versatile dish. You know, whether you're talking pieces of chicken or shrimp or scallops or beef, or venison, you use any kind of meat you want to use. We can add any kind of vegetables we want to use, whether it's shredded carrot, shredded cabbage, spinach. So we can create these, you know, basically you're turning this 55-inch rectangular griddle top into a gigantic wok. You know, we're cooking at 450, 550, 550 degrees, and so you're creating a giant wok. We can add ingredients to it, fresh garlic. I love to put pre-cooked jasmine rice or Japanese-style udon noodles, lo mein noodles, soba noodles on there. Finish it off with a sauce, and you've got yourself a jumbo dish of stir fry. I do Polynesian, teriyaki, Southeast Asian, sweet Thai chili, all of the above on the griddle.
Man, you're making me hungry. Those Fritos I ate are not cutting it at this point. I'm going to tell you. Quickly, before we go to break here, I was looking on the website again this morning, and you can actually do some steaming on that griddle too, can't you?
You sure can. Broccoli would be probably the easiest example. Dump fresh broccoli on top of the griddle and spray a little water in there. Throw a little basting cover on there, like the Blackstone basting cover or whatever basting cover you have. A minute later, pull it off. Perfectly steamed vegetables. You can do the same thing with eggs. You know, crack a few eggs on there. Put a little water on there, put on the basting cover, pull it off, and you've got perfectly poached, steamed-styled eggs on there. So, yeah, great method of cooking.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, when you walk into a restaurant these days and they'll say, how do you want your eggs? And I say basted. And they look at me, a lot of people look at me like I'm from Mars, you know? It's like, what's that? Well, it's a little too late if you don't know now, because I'm not going to go in the kitchen and show you. But basted is good. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Todd Tobin from Blackstone Griddles and swap some recipes. And I'm going to put him through the lightning round a bit when we come back on Barbecue Nation after this. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and Todd Tobin from Blackstone's Griddles are with us today. Painted Hills Natural Beef, again, we'd like to thank them for making this segment possible. From the heart of the Northwest comes a beef product you can feel good about. And by Barclays down in Woodburn. Check out their sidewalk sales this weekend if you're down there. That's Barclays on 99E. We've got Todd Tobin. Like I said, he is the head epicurean. Is that a good title for you, Todd? Head?
Well, I usually just say cook because, you know, we talked about being a chef earlier, and, you know, I don't want to ever offend a chef that, you know, classically trained. And so I'm okay with professional cook.
Yeah. I like epicurean, though. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, we had a guy on the show a couple, 3 weeks ago, BJ Smith, and BJ has been a very successful young man, restaurateur here in the Portland area. Knows his barbecue and his... Not just that. I mean, he was classically trained and all that. It was funny because when we were talking on the show, and I said, what advice would you give kids to thinking about going to culinary school? And he looked at me and goes, don't. He goes, take that money and go to L.A. or New York or Chicago or someplace and find somebody you'd like to train under. And take your tuition money and spend it on housing and food and taking care of yourself and then go actually learn something for a couple of years. It was pretty funny the way he said it. So,
good advice.
Yeah, I thought it was really sound advice. Guys like you and I kind of came up through the school of hard knocks, so they didn't give us a diploma. They gave us a survivor medal, you know, type thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you experiment on your family? Like, that's probably not the best way to say that, but do you experiment on the meals that you prepare or that you're working on for Blackstone? Do you, you know, victimize your family with them at first?
Yeah, I do, and you know, and I guess we all have to have something we're good at. You know, I'm terrible at math, JD. I'm terrible at science, and most of the things we need to do to survive. But for whatever reason, you know, I have the ability, God's given me the gift to be able to literally look at pictures of food or go to a restaurant and see something and be able to just churn it out. And so that's something I'm good at. So most of the time, you know, they come out pretty good. But I'm honest, you know, occasionally if something's bad, we will, you know, throw it away and forget I ever made it. But yeah, I love doing that. You know, I get an idea. For instance, came up with an idea this winter for, we were making crepes on the Blackstone. So Scott Stevenson, who's the director of marketing at Blackstone, is a crepe master. He can turn these crepes out. They're beautiful. And I tried experimenting it, and it was terrible. The crepes weren't spreading right, messing up. Well, then I got to thinking in my mind, wait a second, what if I got good at making crepes, and what if I could make a really neat crepe idea? And then it just came to me one night, key lime crepes.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, the deliciousness of a crepe stuffed with key lime filling. And so, yes, I was more than happy, and we whipped out round after round of key lime crepes at the house. The in-laws came over, and we were just bloated on key lime crepes.
Oh, yeah, you think you should be down in Key West or something, you know, floating there with Jimmy Buffett. But no, that's kind of cool. I know that I like to experiment on my family with the food that I cook, especially for TV. And sometimes they don't quite, they're pretty honest, you know. They're like, yeah, it was all right. Then you know you suck, you know, because it's not good. If they say, man, this is really good, then you know you may have a hit on your hands. But they say you suck. The Blackstone comes in a couple of different sizes for people, and they may not, some people may not want the big hoss, so to speak. They may not need it. So is there any difference in like the 17 inch than the 36 inch grill?
That's a good question. And so we go all the way down to the 17 inch. I think that's what you guys are going to give away, right? The 17 inch tabletop griddle. So whether you're talking the small 17 inch, it is the same steel, the same professional type of griddle top. So the only difference will be the real estate. You know, you only have 17 inches of cooking space as opposed to 36, or as opposed to, or here's a little sneak preview for the future. At the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, Blackstone is going to be releasing a 50-inch six-burner griddle. So, yeah, they all have the same steel top. You know, the smaller ones like the 17-inch, the new popular 22-inch are highly portable. You could literally throw them under one arm, toss them in the trunk of your car, stop off the side of the road at a picnic table and start cooking. So, yeah, you know, but the 36, obviously, the 28, the new 50-inch, those would provide, you know, options for cooking for much larger groups of people.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think this is great for tailgating. I mean, we do... here at Alpha Media, we've been known to throw a tailgate party or two at some of the college football games around and for other reasons. But I'm thinking that, man, I could do everything I could probably do on my Weber tailgating with a black stone there. And it might be a little easier to clean up, cool off, and get back in the back of the bus, so to speak.
Yeah, the griddles are great for tailgating, JT, because like you said, you could put out, you know, 20 burger patties, 20 buns side by side. You could put out 20 or 30 hot sauce, Italian sausage links, and dump a pile of peppers and onions on there, and you have a delicious, you know, authentic East Coast Italian hot sausage sandwich, and lots of versatility for tailgating. And speaking of tailgating, we even have a unit that's called the Tailgater Combo, which has three units in one. It has a small griddle on one side that's comparable in size to the 17-inch. And then there's an open burner where you can just put, you know, pots or pans on there, chili. And then there's even a grill box that you can put on top if you want to do some type of traditional grated grilling with that.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. Okay, Todd, I warned you about this at the break, and so you're stuck now, my friend. I don't have the background music or the bed music. Dave will put that in for us, I hope. But here's your lightning round, Todd Tobin from Blackstone Grills. You ready?
The lightning round.
Yes. Actually, we use the music from Mission Impossible. What's the main thing you've learned so far on cooking on a Blackstone grill? The main thing.
The main thing I've learned. Oil. When in doubt, use oil. If I ever get a question from somebody that says, hey, I left it out in the backyard, and I didn't use the thing for 3 months. First of all, I can't believe they're admitting they didn't use the grill for 3 months. And it developed a little bit of surface rust. Oil. You want to oil before you're cooking, when you're done cooking, and then, of course, take advantage of the oils in your cooking. So oil is your friend. If your food's sticking, if you develop some kind of a surface rust, it's probably just because you're not using enough oil.
Probably. Because I've seen that happen before. If you could work with one of your heroes, one of your cooking heroes, who would it be with?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Since I'm not classically trained, obviously, no offense to those classically trained chefs, I'm probably going to be more attracted to just the guys that come off as normal, and whether that's all just production and they're just trying to reach, us normal dudes in society. I'm probably, more attracted to the guys like Guy Fieri, stuff like that. They're just out talking to normal folks, and they don't, at least they don't appear to have a big ego. So, anybody in that genre.
Oh, there you go. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill? Dumbest.
One time I burned my hand. Inadvertently, I was in a Cabela's store in Avon, Ohio last year, and I had a chef's knife with a plastic handle sitting really close to the end of the griddle on the table there, and I was going to bite the onions or something. And I was talking to the guest, reached down and grabbed the knife handle, of course, not knowing that it was all hot. And if you could remember back to that scene from the original Indiana Jones where the guy grabs that medallion and just held it to his hand. Okay. Yeah. So, be careful. Don't put your knife too close to the griddle. I see a lot of people. One thing that annoys me is occasionally I'll see some people online that literally scrape the entire seasoning off of their griddle. It's sort of a personal pet peeve. When they're done cooking, they literally scrape. They almost sand that griddle all the way down to the weld mark.
Yeah.
And of course, it negates the whole concept of, hey, we're building a seasoning. So I think people that overthink it and scrape down their griddle top, maybe.
Yep, that's true. One last question before we go to break, Todd. You ever cooked in your underwear in the snow?
I have cooked in my underwear, and I have cooked in the snow, but I have not cooked in my underwear in the snow.
How about a lightning storm?
I have cooked when the lightning was coming close, but no, I've never actually been there where the bolts are coming down near the griddle.
Oh, that's okay, but it does brighten things up a bit. I can tell you that for sure.
It does. Yeah, you got to be careful when you have a 55-pound piece of cold rolled steel and two metal spatulas in your hand.
Yeah, and you've got a gas tank right next to you. So there you go.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and wrap up Barbecue Nation with Todd Tobin this week from Blackstone Grills. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I am JT, along with Dr. Dave, and we've got Chef Todd Tobin from Blackstone Griddles with us. And we've had some fun on this show. How much fun do you have working with Blackstone? You sound like you're always having a ball.
I have a lot of fun. And so when we were in Las Vegas last week, the National Hardware Show, one of the other associates under the tent, there was anywhere from 5 to 10 of us under this demo tent at one time, said to me, oh, my goodness, God, you have more energy than everybody else here combined. So, I'm 46 years old, and I have a lot of energy. I'm, probably just about as hyper now as I was when I was 15. So
yeah.
I have a great time. And so, I try to make it fun. I dread customer service experiences where people don't smile and they don't engage the customer. So, yeah, I try to, make sure everyone feels at home. And, yeah, when possible, we have a laugh or two.
Could you cook an armadillo on that thing?
You probably could.
Yeah. A dead armadillo, folks. Don't go crazy.
Yeah.
On it. No.
You probably could.
I was just thinking of, I was reading some of the other abstract questions we have for lightning round, and I thought, what would you do? Say armadillo in a half shell or something? I don't know. We'll talk about that off the air.
And you know what? I know just the person that could do it. We have a friend, Bruce Mitchell. He's from TV swamp people. So he's a Blackstone affiliate. He does a lot of griddling on his Facebook, and you know, he does it all from Frog Lake to Turtle. So I bet, I'm willing to bet, that Bruce, the Alligator Man Mitchell, could griddle an armadillo.
I bet he could. Well, put him up to the challenge and let me know how that works out, would
okay.
you?
Okay.
I think that would be really good. Couple things, too. How do folks find a dealer or the website? Or and also, real quickly, kind of give me a recommendation on sizes of the griddles for people. For give me some hypothetical situations there.
Sure. Where you can find Blackstone griddles, pretty much anywhere you can find any traditional outdoor cooking equipment. So, you know, everywhere from Walmart all the way down to Ace Hardware and everywhere in between. I'll be heading out to Kentucky this weekend. I'll be at a Field and Stream store in Crescent Springs, Kentucky, doing a demo. So pretty much any outdoor-related store. And, of course, online, whether it's Wayfair.com, Amazon.com, BlackstoneProducts.com. The Blackstone website is a great place to go and get it straight from the source if you don't want to go to one of the other places. But the griddles are available pretty much everywhere. As far as sizes of the griddles and uses go, that's a great question. So we have the 17-inch griddle. It's the one that you guys are going to be giving away here. That's a very small griddle, but still you could eat, comfortably cook enough food for two people or even four or five people on there. So it's a great versatility. If you're just a couple or a young guy, a family of three, the 17-inch might be perfect, but you could still stretch it and cook for five people on there.
Sure.
Moving up, we have the 22-inch, which is a new size that you'll see out in different avenues this summer. Walmart's got an exclusive deal this summer where they have a version of it that has a lot of accessories. 22-inch is great because you can really cook for 10 people on that thing or just one or two. 36-inch is probably the most popular unit. You know, I unofficially call it the flagship model, but it has heavy-duty caster wheels. You can roll it around. You can even fold the leg. Put it in your car if you want to. Granted, the top weighs 55 pounds, so, you know, 75-year-old grandma's not going to be lugging it around.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can cook. You can cater an event for 20 people with that thing. And, of course, the new 50-inch coming out. Well, that thing's going to be somebody just called it the USS Blackstone. So there's a lot of space on there. It really depends. Like, I always like to err on the side of having a larger griddle than you think you would need. Because, you know, maybe you are just a couple, two people living alone, and you typically just cook for yourself, but, you know, do you ever have, you know, a get-together at your house? Well, if you have a 28-inch, you know, that might allow you then to suddenly cook for 10 people if the situation arises, but yet it won't be overkill if it's just two people cooking on a 28-inch as opposed to a 50-inch. So a lot of options, and, you know, perhaps best thing to do would be to spend some time going out to the Blackstone website and just, you know, checking out the videos and the pictures and
sure.
get a better idea of what they look like.
Sure. Todd Tobin from Blackstone Grills. Thanks, man. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, JT. Likewise. I had a great time.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Remember our motto around here, turn it, don't burn it. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. I like a little drama effect there. Another edition of Barbecue Nation. Anyway, we will. So check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com, and everybody have a great week. See you then. Take care.